Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would grab a hymn book and stand with me. Let's turn to page 40 in our hymn books. Page 40. All right, my voice is having difficulties this morning, so y'all are going to have to sing out loud, okay? Help me out. On the first, let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Have you been to Jesus?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
On the last.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Amen. What a tremendous thing to know you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed, set free from all the ugliness and filthiness of our sin. Made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy Him not just for today, but for all eternity. It's good to be here today. Good to be here with you. We can worship the Lord together. And we're thankful that in North Texas, it can be freezing and cold on one Sunday and be nice. And supposed to be about 60 today, so we're enjoying that. And so let's lift our voices to the praise and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's take a couple of moments right now and just welcome each other. Church family, make sure you welcome our visitors and tell them how much you're thrilled that God led them our way.
Thank you.
right, if you would return back to your seats, let's turn to page 55 once more. Page 55. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth verse. We'll give some attention to that often neglected third verse, all right? On the first.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred death for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Well might the sun,
in darkness light, and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Please be seated. Page 150.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I hear the word of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Let's do something a little bit different. Let's slow this last verse down just a little bit, okay? Listen to the words, okay? Slow it down a little bit.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Gentlemen, if y'all take your places, get ready to take this morning's offering. Got a few announcements to go over. This Wednesday and Thursday, Brother S.N. Davis is going to be here. We're going to have our family conference, and we do have a special request. We're going to need some nursery workers to help with that, if you don't mind also. And that also goes in general. We just need some help in the nursery all the way together. Tonight after church, we're going to have a snack night for the youth. All the youth is going after the evening service, we'll have a little get-together for just a little bit. Parents won't need any cost on that. The father-son camping trip is going to be this Friday and Saturday. I'd like to have a real quick meeting immediately after the morning service for all the fathers and sons who's interested in going. Right down here, we'll go over a few little details, and I know a few particulars on that thing. The college and career is going to go ice skating on the Saturday and ladies' retreat. Out to Graham, Texas, there's a sign up in the back on the 28th and 29th. And we got a little thing coming up here on March 30th. We'll have a youth adult softball game. Last time we had this, the youth waxed violently, possibly both. Y'all got some stiff competition. Looking forward to this. The youth yard sale, this is going to be our one and only fundraiser for youth camp coming up. And folks, if you need to have your picture taken for the photo for our church directory, or like to have a retake on the one that you had before, please put your name on the foyer also. And last but not least, we still need some prayer warriors. A very, very important ministry that takes place. Is when somebody's up here preaching, somebody's in the pulpit, somebody in the pulpit preaching, somebody's been in the back praying. So, and I see that hand back there. Yes, ma'am. I almost did forget, written in front of me. The ladies' ensemble practice today at what time? 4:15 for ladies' ensemble. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the time of year. It's getting to be the change of season. And Lord, this is no surprise for you. It takes place every year you designed it, Lord. Thank you for being the God you are, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking to be at this offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver, Lord. And yes, sir, Lord, please, hide the preacher behind the cross. Give him the words that you want him to say and prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
How wonderful the day he came and raised me to my feet. Amazing love, amazing love. How marvelous the love that found no fault but only need. Amazing love, amazing love. This love can move the unmoved mountain and melt the heart of stone. This love will find the last lost child and bring him home. And as long as I have breath in me, my lips shall raise a melody in praise of this amazing love. Unthinkable the price he paid to meet my soul's demand. Amazing love, amazing love. Unbelievable the length he went, the distance that was spanned. Amazing love, amazing love. This love can move the unmoved mountain and melt the heart of stone. This love will find the last lost child and bring him home. And as long as I have breath in me, these lips shall raise a melody in praise of this amazing love, amazing love, amazing love.
Amen. Indeed. What an amazing love. And God was pleased to share with us. You can be turning, as we see, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm grateful for God's mercy to us in every area and every facet. As you find your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Reading just this one verse this morning as we would look into our message. Beginning in that verse, verse 18, we see, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen. Father, once again, we bow before you today. We humbly, as best we can, yield ourselves to you. I ask you that you would take absolute, complete charge. Please, Lord, give clarity, understanding, even illumination to the preacher this morning. Loosen his lips to declare the word that you would want our hearts to receive. And as well, I'd ask you, Father, to not let a single word be spoken that would be out of the way, out of your way. And we do indeed pray that you might grant us ears to hear from you. Hearts, Father, that are quick and ready, willing to receive from you today, that we would be empowered, as we've read, by the Holy Spirit of God, to not simply be hearers, but doers of your word. We plead the blood of your Son, Christ's blood, over this service, asking you, Father, that the wicked one would have no way to enter in and disrupt or cause an obstacle or hindrance, that your word would have absolute, clear, free course, Father, that every heart, every soul be surrendered to you. We ask you on behalf of precious hearts, lives, souls today, if there be any here, Father, that are yet outside the camp, yet outside of Christ, please, Lord, help them to see Jesus today. See him in his glory and in his beauty, his great grace, his love, and his mercy. And we will give you the glory for everything and all things that you would do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. The verse before us this morning speaks of the preaching. The preaching of the cross. And it is the cross that made the difference, isn't it? Amen. It was the preaching of the cross somewhere in your life, in mine, if you're saved, that the Lord was pleased to enter in and do a life-changing work. Indeed, to reveal to us that in and of ourselves, we were hopeless and helpless in our sin. But there was a power that took charge. There was a power that entered in and worked in our lives and made such a difference that nothing has ever been the same. I trust that that's your testimony this morning. And it's by the power of his word that God spoke, literally spoke, still amazes me, the universe into existence. It was by an awesome display of his power that Jehovah God brought his children, brought the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. And it was Jesus that spoke and calmed the angry waves and the wind, the boisterous winds. And it was Jesus that commanded. And Lazarus came out of the grave. Wow. We have a powerful God. We have a powerful God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That ability rests in his authority and who and what he is. Jesus declared in Matthew 28 and verse 18 that all, not just some, not most, but all authority The idea of that word there, or excuse me, in our King James, it says all power. But in that word, there's also the idea of authority. He has power and authority. And we're laying this groundwork this morning that we might grasp that in Christ we can live for His glory. We've seen over in these last weeks that the Word of God gives us clear direction for our lives and is specifically for our marriages, our families. And I'm thankful for that power. And I want to assure you that with that power, with the directive, the command that God gives, He also gives the ability, that power, to live in that command, to fulfill that command. Last week, in the midst of the ice storm, we began looking at some biblical principles for a God-blessed marriage. We began those principles with being willing to yield and surrender to what God's perfect will would be for our lives. Where there's no place, there's no area in our life that is more important to be yielded, surrendered, to know His will than in the choosing, or I wouldn't say even the word choosing, receiving that life partner that God would give to us. We need to follow God's perfect will. We need to foster in our homes God's perfect love. He has loved us, and He gives us then, through that love of Christ which resides in us, the ability to love others, beginning with that spouse, that mate that He would give to us. But then thirdly, and the last thing we saw last week, that we need to fortify the Lord's perfect headship and the idea of His leading, His directing, that indeed He would be Lord of our homes, that we would bring everything into a compliance, if you will, or to surrender. Hey, the bottom line, did not do anything that He would not direct in our homes, in our relationships. But we go on this morning and trying to look at some more principles. And again, as we lay these out, I believe with all my heart that as we would apply biblical principles to our families, to our relationships, that God will bless those relationships. He will make them the kind of relationships that will honor Him and, of course, give us those families that God would have for us. We need to find the Lord's perfect or complete power for our homes. Couples can appropriate the power of God for every difficulty, for every struggle, for every problem that may come their way. It's God's promise to us that He is there to grant us all that we would need. He has promised simply to do for believers. According, as Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, the power that worketh in us to His glory. And of course, in that, to our good. Thinking of the power of God, one of my favorite stories in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, the events surrounding that relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And we realize that when Lazarus died, he was 4 days in the tomb. And when Jesus had instructed the folks there at the tomb of Lazarus to roll the stone away, even Lazarus' sister cautioned the Lord Jesus Christ because Lazarus had been 4 days in the tomb, and surely he stinketh. His body would have begun to see corruption by that time. He was dead, beloved, to the point of corruption. And at the command of Jesus Christ, Lazarus arose from the dead and came out of that tomb. That's power, beloved. That's power. The resurrection of Lazarus is one of the grandest illustrations of God's power for us as well. what trial that you may face, what temptation could come your way, what hardship, hey, what difficulty is too great for the power of God? The obvious answer, we realize that's a silly question. There is no issue that you and I could deal with that would be beyond the ability, the power of God to deal with. You know, I've been told, unfortunately, too many times, but at least several times over the years by a couple come into my office and they say, "Preacher, our marriage is dead." You know what I tell them? I tell them, then you need to look to the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. That He's a God that's able to resurrect your marriage. He's a God that's able to enter in by His power and change everything that's going on. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. It doesn't really matter how big you are or how little you are. Doesn't matter how much education you have or don't have. God's able to do for you. God's able to do for all of us. He enters in where our weaknesses come to their end and the temptations are overwhelming. And those, beloved, that know the Lord Jesus Christ can appropriate the life-giving power of God. I'm thankful for that promise. If it wasn't for that promise, I wouldn't stand behind this holy desk today. But I'm thankful I can stand here and preach and declare that there's a God that's able. Hey, He's able to do for you today.
Amen. That's right.
Just as He's done for me. We can come to Christ. We can come to the throne of God and we can pray with expectation. Huh? Anticipation that He will do for us. We can come to Him in our need. Lord, I need You. Lately, I've been saying this, quoting a friend of mine over and over again. I've shared with some folks that it's something I read in a letter from a friend of mine, a prayer letter, actually. And he has a way of saying things that just stick with you. And as I read it, he didn't make a big deal of it, but he made this simple statement. So he says, we're all candidates for God's mercy. That's me this morning. Meaning by that, we all need God's mercy. We all need Him to enter in and to work in our lives by His mercy. Hey, we don't deserve His mercy. We don't deserve His grace. But we have a God that gets beyond what we deserve and does for us. And He does that, beloved, by His power. The Apostle Paul could declare, and hey, you and I can enter into the same declaration. Paul declared, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the idea is that the one that empowers me, He's able. He is able. Friends, we can humbly but confidently go to His throne, go to Christ, seeking His perfect will for our lives. We, on the other hand, cannot go to Him in selfishness or seeking our own agendas. In fact, James warns us in chapter 4 and verse 3, where he says, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss. Why? That you may consume it upon your lusts. We can go to Him with confidence, but we better go to Him humbly. We need to go to Him seeking for Him to accomplish what He sees fit in our lives. And when we're willing to go to Him that way, beloved, He's there to pour out His power in our lives and to do for us. My friends, beloved, as you battle the attacks of hell, as you battle the attacks of hell against your lives, your marriages, your homes, you can go to Jesus. You can go to Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says this. I love these words. You can go to him according to these words and know him and the power of his resurrection. There's power there, beloved. There's power for you today, whatever the need might be. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, the Apostle Paul declares as he's given us that word on that tremendous word in the end of that chapter concerning our security in the love of Jesus. Our security in God because of Christ's love for us and what Christ has done for us. And regardless of what may come at us, regardless of what the world may throw at us, regardless of what, happened yesterday, regardless of what could happen tomorrow, Paul declares, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's power, beloved. We need that power. But then as well, there's another principle here. We need to follow the Lord. And I'm going to deal with a couple of these pretty quickly. We need to follow the Lord in perfect fellowship. Perfect fellowship. It's essentials. Now listen to this. Husbands, wives. It's essential that husbands and wives fellowship together in the Lord. That their lives be a walk with the Lord. It's not that there's our marriage and that relationship and my relationship with the Lord and her relationship with the Lord, but there's also our relationship with the Lord. And that relationship needs to be fostered and built upon. Husbands and wives need to seek the Lord together. Together. In John chapter 12, we read that 6 days after the Lord Jesus Christ had raised Lazarus from the dead, that he and Lazarus sat together. Imagine this. Imagine what it was like that night. They sat together around the family table. Of course, Martha was being Martha, and she was there to serve them. It said they actually shared a meal together. Can you imagine what that was like? But that food that they shared on the table pictures, beloved, the tremendous spiritual fellowship that was shared in that home. And it should be a picture of the fellowship that we share in our homes. In our homes. Couples need to establish a daily time together with the Lord, in his word and on their knees. Huh? Now, it doesn't mean you have to be literally on your knees, but we use that in that sense to speak of we need to spend time in prayer together. Amen. Together. To pray together. Study the word of God together. Read the word of God together. The word of God should become your daily spiritual food. As you would read the Word of God together, you're inviting the God of glory, the God of His Word, to enter in and to do for you spiritually. You're inviting Him to enter into your relationship and to speak to you from His Word. It's very important, beloved. You know, it's just about, maybe somebody could figure out a way to do this, but it's just about impossible to fuss with somebody while you're praying. I mean, can you imagine bowed before the Lord and fussing with somebody, even your wife? Huh? It's just about impossible. You know, it might be a good time out. You talk about giving the kids timeouts. You get into a fuss with the wife, that'd be a good time to take a time out and seek the Lord. To seek the Lord together. We need to follow the Lord in perfect fellowship. But then as well, out of that perfect fellowship, that relationship together with Him, there also should be that joyful service. A joyful service. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, the words of the Apostle Paul, he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As do the Lord. That means to give it all you got. Whatever we would be involved in for the Lord, we need to give it all we got. If you're not now, and many within Metropolitan Baptist Church are already doing this, but if you're not now, have you considered, as husbands and wives, as couples, serving God together? Serving God together in some capacity. It's a beautiful thing to see a husband and a wife united in ministry for the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. One of Marcia and mine's first ministries together was teaching a third grade boys' Sunday school class. That was interesting, to say the least. And I'm sure she remembers some of that as we would look back. But I want to say this. To this day, 30-some years later, that ministry together still has impact on my ministry today and what we shared together in those days. And as Christians, as believers, as a saved couple, our first ministry, our priority of ministry is to each other and to our homes. But it shouldn't stop there. It doesn't need to stop there. But to be involved in ministry in the local church as well is a tremendous thing. You know, it's a blessing that God would allow you as a husband and wife to labor together for His glory. I remember a dear old couple in the first church that Marcia and I were members in, and they were precious. They had the white hair and all that, and just before we had met them, they gave up being the youth directors. Those teenagers loved them, and they were grandma and grandpa to all the kids in the youth department. But they decided it was time to give that up, but they didn't give up serving God. Harry Reese, Harry and Ruth Reese, Harry went and bought an old travel trailer, double axle travel trailer, and he stripped the whole thing out. It was empty inside, and he built benches and put them in that old travel trailer, and his wife was a master at flannel graph. She could tell a flannel graph story with those little things and make it come to life. Kids would sit in there and just Google-eyed watching her, listen to her tell them stories. Well, they took that trailer and you know, the wordless book colors. Harry had painted the whole outside of that trailer white, and then he painted the stripes around it in the colors of the wordless book. I mean, they had a Bible story on wheels, Bible class on wheels. And Harry and Ruth would go out in the neighborhoods and they'd knock doors for several days. Then they'd pull that trailer up in the neighborhood and they'd have a Bible school on wheels. Even the trailer was a Bible story. And they'd take those kids in there and they had impact in kids' lives, families. I remember this was back when they still had Christ in Christmas. And I remember they would get folk guys at the church and they'd say, "Will you come help us down at in that part of the country, there was, instead of Kmart or Walmart, there was a store called Hills. And it was one of them kind of discount stores. And the store actually let them park that big old travel trailer right outside the front door of the store. I mean, one of the busiest department stores in the area. And what we'd do is we would stand there as people come by and we'd just invite them to have Miss Ruth tell them the Christmas story, tell their children the Christmas story while they shopped. We'd be afraid to do that today, wouldn't we? Well, parent after parent said, "That's great, sure." And one group after another, they would fill up that trailer and Miss Ruth would give the Christmas story and along with it give the gospel. I mean, those two serve God together. And guys like me got a taste. As a new Christian, a baby Christian, I got to observe what it meant for a husband and wife to serve God together all of those years ago. It was a beautiful thing. And it was a tremendous testimony to all the young couples in that church to see that couple serve that way. You know, we need to follow the Lord in joyful service. Service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then as well, we need to follow the Lord in worship. Fellowship, service, and worship. Those three things certainly go together. And very important in our homes. You know, that same night, going back, that same night that Jesus and Lazarus sat at fellowship at the family table, it was a little while later that Lazarus' sister, Mary, she had witnessed the Lord Jesus raise her brother from the dead. She had witnessed him command his dead body within the tomb to come forth. And in the power of God, Lazarus came from out that tomb. Well, that night, as they fellowshipped around the table, Mary, it says in the Word of God, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. We know the story that she took that and she anointed the feet of Jesus. She wiped his feet with her hair. That was an act of devotion beyond anything we can really even imagine. Why would she do that? Beloved, it was an expression of Mary's gratitude. It was an expression of her devotion and this precious, beautiful act of worship there, right there in the family home. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Shouldn't our homes be a place of worship? Huh? Shouldn't our homes be a place where, it's natural to come into this auditorium to sing God's praises and declare our amens and our praise the Lord's. It's easy right here, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But it ought to be easy in our homes.
Yes,
our homes ought to be a place, our home should be a place Jesus feels comfortable. Don't you think? It ought to be a place where he would feel at home. Do you think Jesus felt at home that night there with Lazarus, Martha, Mary? Wow. Had to be a beautiful time. I want Jesus to feel at home at my house. I want my home to be a place where he can enter in and, if you will, forgive me if this doesn't sound, I want him to be able to relax at my house. I don't want there to be no tension and stress there. That my home, our homes should be a place where the Son of God, he calls me his brother. I want my older brother to feel at home when he visits, knowing that he enters in. Oh my, is our home devoted to Christ and gratitude for that resurrection power that he displayed in our lives. The power that he poured out to see us delivered from our sin. Oh, what gratitude we should have. Do we realize that we were just as dead spiritually as Lazarus was laying in that tomb? Till the day that God commanded life to come forth where there was death. And just as great a miracle as the day he created you physically was the day he gave you life spiritually. Oh, we should be grateful. We should have that heart of consecration, devotion to him. And going back to what we've already said, a time of prayer, a time of, in the Bible, a time of praise together. Isn't it a good thing if your children hear you praise God? Shouldn't they hear Dad and Mom talking about how good God is? Isn't that the kind of conversation that should be in our homes? It's all right. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But my kids, they've heard me sing. and they didn't even have to stick cotton in their ears. They probably should have.
It's okay to lift up our voices and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially in our homes as a family. Oh my, time of prayer in the home. But you know, that's where it begins. You need to take your family to church. Amen. You need to have your family in church, that joint attendance to the worship services. You know, that's where the family's exposed to the good word of God. It's where the family can hear and grow and learn concerning the things of God and the blessings of God, the challenges that God would put into our hearts and lives. You say, well, preacher, I like to be faithful at church every Sunday. Well, did you ever consider that maybe God would have you in the church a little more than that? Yeah, I know. I'm one of those crazy preachers that believes you need more than one spiritual meal a week. Now, I'm going to say something, and you might not agree with me, but that's okay. The Lord will straighten you out someday. We understand, and I'm sure we'd agree, that what we would hear today, God will hold us accountable for. When truth is, hey, just the reading of God's Word makes me accountable to what I've heard. But I'm going to say something to you. And I heard this out of the mouth of an old North Carolina preacher that's been in glory for about 20 years. But Frank McGuire said this one night in a service, and man, it hit me between the eyes. He said, you're not only accountable for what you do here, like we're hearing right now, but God will hold you accountable, Dad, Mom, even you young folks, for what you could have heard. You follow me? God's going to be dispensing the word of life tonight, 6 o'clock. The Word of God will be preached even this week, Wednesday and Thursday night. You know, I pray every day, God, please give me food for my people. Please help me to give them what they need to hear, because I don't know. Only God knows what He'd want. But you know, when I come to church here, step behind this desk, I believe that I've got a word from God. And as you've prayed for the preacher and the preaching, you should have that same confidence. God's got a word for you. But what if you're not here to hear it? You know, I'm not here to put a guilt. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I just want you to get what God wants for you. I want you to get the food for life that God wants for you and for me. We need to follow the Lord in worship as well. But a last point in these principles that we've been trying to lay out. In this one, I ask you, please listen. We need to function in the Lord's threefold union. It's threefold union. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Apostle Paul was writing to that church there in Thessalonica, and he said this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or the idea is completely in every way. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body," threefold, "your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, God's created us as a three-part being. And that shouldn't surprise us. We should understand that. Our relationship to God and our mate is designed to be threefold. Now listen to this. We understand that God is our creator, and He created us in His image. And He was pleased along the way to give us a body, a soul, and a spirit. Of course, our body is that obvious. It consists of the bones, the flesh, the, the blood and all that goes with it. In with our body, we have those senses in which we are conscious of all that is and goes on around us. The body is our world consciousness, other consciousness. But our soul consists of that intellect, your ability to think, to learn and to understand. The soul makes up those emotions, how you feel, the will, or your ability to make choices and decisions. Our soul, beloved, is you, that inner man, that person that you are. And the soul is our self-consciousness. But then there's the spirit. The spirit consists of that conscience, that inward voice that warns us, and that what we commit any sin or to preclude that. Our spirit is what makes us God conscious. It's through our spirit that we fellowship with Him. In our image, in creation, as we mentioned a moment ago, God created us in His image. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And before the fall, before Adam was disobedient to that one command of God, and before he was disobedient, we were designed to have fellowship with God in our whole body, soul, and spirit. But sin destroyed that image. Sin destroyed that image. Sin separated man from God. Sin brought a great threefold fall to the person of man. Our spirit is dead. And the lost man's spirit is dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it speaks of how for the saved man, he hath quickened. Or the idea is he's made us alive spiritually. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Our spirit is dead. Our body, though designed to be temples, worship and devotion to God, we're also defiled by sin. And as long as we continue in sin, we cannot know the presence and power of God. We do not have that ability. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, there we're told that God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And unless, beloved, we're made right with our God, we cannot. We do not have the ability to have fellowship with Him. And without Him, our fellowship with each other is marred. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, your fellowship, your relationship with others, and especially your mate, your spouse, will not be what God had designed it to be. Well, the Bible says, hallelujah, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ has the power that cleanses us and to make us clean. It purges us from all stains and the effects of sin. Now listen to this. In salvation, we go through a threefold change. God's good. Our dead spirit becomes a living spirit. Amen. And ye hath he quickened. Ye hath he, God, made alive. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. Our darkened soul is now filled with the light of God. God regenerates us. That means He gives us life. Hey, that's what Jesus was talking about when He spoke of being born again. Brings new life. And with that new life, it brings light into our lives. We're able then, beloved, to think right. We're able to understand the things of God right. We begin to make right use even of our emotions. And hey, for the first time, our will is to do His will. Things are changing. The body, even the body's cleansed, forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. A threefold change. But now listen to this. Two individuals. Let me back up. Two saved individuals. Two individuals. Two persons whose lives have been changed in that threefold way. Made new creatures in Christ. New creatures in body, soul, and spirit. The new creatures have the ability now to fully experience and enjoy the blessings of what God's done for them. New creatures in Christ. They can enjoy their God and each other the way God designed them to enjoy. Even the physical relationship, something pure, something blessed, something that has been given to them by their Creator. The Word of God declares even the marriage bed is undefiled. They can enjoy, listen to this, they can enjoy the spiritual union of a life that is centered and focused on the Lord as it was purposed from the beginning. Focused on Him. Beginning. Now listen. Those two saved folks. Those two whose lives have been changed. Now have the ability. Oh, rather than trying to sort out the affairs of life and the things that are coming their way. Rather than trying to sort all that out in their own wisdom and their own understanding. Now as two believers. Two people that have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them can bow their hearts before God. We belong to You. Our home belongs to You, God. And we want You to work out Your perfect will and Your perfect plan in our home. Hey, they may have wanted that before, but it was impossible till Jesus made that difference. Till Jesus changed them, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus does that work. Now listen to this. Hollywood likes to talk about this. It's a bunch of malarkey to say kindly till Jesus enters in. Now those two ones, saved by the blood of the Lamb, cleansed, made whole, clean in Him, new, live in Christ as spirit, souls renewed, body cleansed. These two can enjoy the blessing of being true soulmates. They're complete beings now. Complete beings knit together with one joy and one purpose. They can consecrate. These two can consecrate their home. They can consecrate their relationship. They can consecrate their kids, their children, to God's glory. Not my will be done, huh? Not my will, but Thy will be done. Not just in heaven, but right here on earth. In my home, Lord, might Your will be done. Might Your will be done. Amen. But it begins with Jesus. It begins with Jesus Christ. You'll not love your dear wife right till you love Him right. But when you do, transforms everything. Ladies, begins with Jesus. You'll never be able to. I know it's tough enough as it is to follow that rascal. You'll never be able to yield to His leadership without Jesus. But with Jesus, it makes it all different. The Lord Jesus Christ in charge. Hey, when He's in charge, your ultimate trust isn't in your husband. Right? Your ultimate trust is in the God who leads your husband. That ought to keep you on your knees for Him. Yes, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes a total difference. I challenge you to the men and to the gals, but it may be you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have that confidence that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that you've been saved and delivered from sin's poison and disease. I plead with you, friend. I plead with you. Jesus died for you. The Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so thankful that included me. It includes you too. If you don't know you're saved, if there's any question, any doubt in your heart and mind, please, please don't leave this church house today without making certain of that thing. Your eternal destiny rests on that. Nothing else is more important than that. Then when Jesus has made that change, when He's made that difference, when He's saved you and cleansed you, oh my, you'll look at your wife, you'll look at your husband in a way you never have before. Your gratitude for God's mercy, oh, if it doesn't, it should overwhelm you. God is so good. God is so good. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you. I thank you for the Lord Jesus today. Thank you, Father, for the day you made that difference in Jim Turner and Marcia Turner's life. Father, it's not so long ago that we don't remember what it was like not to be saved, not to have you as head of our home. But I'm sure thankful today we can bend the knee to you, that we can hand in hand serve you. And Father, I pray for every family, every marriage couple in this church, for those who may be contemplating marriage, for those young folks sitting before us, oh God, please, please, in the name of Jesus, do for each home, each individual, each husband, each wife. Oh God, I plead with you. Would you be pleased to just do beautiful things today? Oh Lord, we love you. Might our hearts be tendered as Mary's heart was tendered so long ago, that we would pour out the oil of our devotion to you, to love you, Father, with heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be surrendered. Thy will be done, O God, in my home as well as in heaven. And fathers, we sing, I pray that you'd give liberty to folks. Not be afraid to step out and get into this altar and maybe just seek your face. Maybe just come and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the husband. Thank you for the wife that you've given him. And Lord, today, just be pleased to do beautiful things. I ask you again, Lord, eternal things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen, Brother John.
Page 223.
If we sing, folks, please just obey the Lord. Do what He'd have you to do this morning. He's a good God.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. And